You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Gentlemen, we all know this is illegal and against club practice. I'd like to ask at this time if you gentlemen all agree to waive all sanction against said referee or anything that might get me fired.
This is a PGA Championship Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club, the best course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
It's PGA Championship Week on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Keep it fair, will you?
On 1080 The Fan.
Hour number three of Primetime, an SOB edition. Souk, Ortner, and Buckley here with you heading into the weekend. A couple hours remaining on this program. We're just talking about the cost of living for Oregonians and things people choose to buy. You were talking about those $3,000 Louis Vuitton bags, deal points out, or it could be those $500 elite knives we were talking about yesterday.
Hey, that's not a want, that's a need. I feel like I need that. And it was like $430. Thank you very much for my benchmark automatic knife. But yes, that is true. Luxury items are always interesting in tough times, but the luxury items are the ones that usually do pretty well.
Amazingly. It's
you're like recession proof.
And it feels booze. So backwards. Well, yeah. That at least you I don't get how the luxury items helps you cope with the situation that in the way that booze does, but you know.
Hey, well, you know. Hey, maybe that bag or that knife makes you feel happy. I suppose it's just maybe not if you can't pay your bills.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, we will make our first foray into the Pick Ponies Club. Preakness this weekend, and last time around for the first leg of the Triple Crown, you were still gone. I think it was the Friday before you came back. I want to say it was the Derby was right before you came back, right? Kentucky Derby?
I was in, yeah. That was like the weekend I was coming back from.
I thought so, because Isaac and Patrick were here, and that day before the Derby, Isaac came in, and I was watching horse racing on my phone that day, and both of them proceeded to give me a modicum of crap about the time I had spent listening to and ingesting material about the horse race. Worked out for me.
Yeah.
So now we're going to try to pay that forward to the people. Only 9 horses in this Preakness, so we got options.
Well, the bummer is, too, that the Kentucky Derby
winner, sovereignty.
Yeah, didn't even run in it. You're seeing this more and more. This isn't the first time that the winner of the Kentucky Derby just says no thanks. They take their money and they're going to take their stud fee, and I guess they're just too close together.
Yeah, well, and that's the other thing. And you figure if the majors are such a big deal, why wouldn't horse race figuring it out and just space it out a little bit better? Because there are... And we'll get more into this. There are horses racing in the Preakness that skipped the Derby, and there are horses that were in the Derby that skipped the Preakness.
Yeah, wouldn't it make sense?
Because it's like a two-week turnaround.
For horse racing, you wouldn't... Cause the Derby did huge numbers.
Yes.
Wouldn't you want to just space everything out so that all
you
the horses
think.
Could run in all three races?
You would think. But before we get to that, we need some Diamond Dunkaroos. I saw something come across my timeline last night that I couldn't believe. It might be the greatest individual and team performance in a baseball game that I've ever heard of. This is coming to us from Purdue Fort Wayne. So a directional Purdue Indiana school.
Okay.
They scored 11 runs in the 9th inning to beat Wright State yesterday, which an 11-run comeback in the 9th is already something of legend. But not only that, their star, or at least the star of the day, Justin Osterhaus, had four home runs, including the walk-off grand slam to cap off the 11-run comeback, part of a five-hit day, eight RBI, a stolen base, and he was the winning pitcher.
What?
This is some, like, Ohtani-level wildness going on.
The Purdue-Fort Wayne Mastodons?
That would be them.
Run that by me again.
So
I need the
they came back.
Run.
They came back from 11 down in the ninth against Wright State. The dude who hit the walk-off grand slam was also the winning pitcher, and it was his fourth home run of the day.
So, yeah, they won 21-17.
So it was tied when he hit the slam.
11 in the ninth.
Yeah.
And he hit four homers and gets, how many innings did he pitch?
That I'm not sure of. I'm sure we can find the box score.
Here. So Osterhaus, he had eight RBI in the game, D1 era school record. He stole one base and he got hit by a pitch. He was 5 for 6 on the day. I'm trying to see like what he pitched as well.
If it was like he just came in late, because I mean, in both teams giving up 17 runs, like your pitchers are getting knocked around. So maybe he came in just for the final inning because like he was an arm they had.
I would like to point out that the Purdue Fort Wayne Mastodons are 11-38.
Well, yeah, it's a lot better than 10-39, isn't it?
It's not so good. But hey, they won't remember much, but they're going to remember that.
That's the most insane individual performance plus team comeback combo that I can pretty much come up with in just about any sport.
I'm guessing that is the single greatest performance in baseball history.
In
baseball history.
Like,
find me anyone that's had a better run than that. Yeah, 17-10 entering the bottom of the ninth inning. 11 runs. No, I did not see this.
And he gets the win too, which is some Ohtani level stuff and brings me 2-1 Shohei Ohtani. The Dodgers also scored 17 runs last night. In fact, they scored 19 runs.
It was Ohtani's bobblehead night, and he hit two home runs.
Yep. He also struck out, though. Did you see that?
Oh, he struck out, so he sucks?
No. It was a 17-2 game. So, and I'm wondering if this is the first player to do this, and maybe the last to do it for a while. But the A's brought in position player Johnny Pareda.
Oh, I did see this. It was like the catcher or whatever that struck him out.
Yeah, like a backup catcher comes in and strikes out Ohtani with, wow, I'll call it high heat, but just whatever his probably lollipop fastball was at the top of the zone. Ohtani misses it. And this guy, like, listen, I know you're getting crushed by 15. He actually realizes in the moment, there probably aren't a lot of position players who've struck out Ohtani. He tosses the ball to the dugout. He's like, I got to keep that.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
So he's got his own little memento. He's the first player, the first position player to strike out Ohtani, and I'm wondering how long it's going to be before that happens again. It's a pretty cool little distinction.
That is cool. I bet you put that one up on the man.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, he was smart enough to throw the ball out there and hold on to it. By the way, I looked it up, that Osterhaus guy.
Yeah.
It was only the second time pitching.
Okay.
And he pitched a scoreless top of the ninth inning.
Look
which
at that.
Means they sent that dude in because they were like, the game's
over.
Because
they were down seven.
They were down seven, so they sent him in the ninth inning not to waste an arm. He threw a scoreless ninth and then hit the walk-off grand slam.
His fourth of the day.
Yeah, it was his first ever win and only the second time he had ever pitched in his career.
And then this on Ohtani, I mean, I feel like one of these things comes out every week. It feels like it used to happen when Mike Trout was in his prime, just putting up Albert Pujols too, just numbers that we haven't seen guys do before. 42 games into the season, Ohtani has 15 dingers, 10 stolen bases, 45 runs, and 25 walks. No one in Major League history has done that in a 42-game span.
Well, I don't know if anyone's worth $700 million, but if, you know, because the idea was if he doesn't pitch, how much is he worth? Well, again, don't know if anyone's worth $700 million, but as a fan of a team that paid Juan Soto, not $700 million, but we paid him close, we gave him a lot of money, and Juan Soto will not pitch, I would gladly take Shohei Ohtani and what he's doing under the guise of maybe one day he can pitch and that be in the DH as opposed to Juan Soto's outfield prowess and whatever the hell he's doing at the plate. He truly is something special.
By the way, I'm now seeing the baseball that the position player threw. Even cooler, he got Ohtani to sign it, and it says, "What a pitch!" with an exclamation point, and then Ohtani's signature on the sweet spot.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, that's...
That'll be passed down for generations in that family.
Oh,
that's such a cool deal.
Yeah, I see. He's sitting there in the clubhouse, and it's in a glass case.
Yep, you got a little sticker on it already.
That is hilarious. And yeah, someone said, look it up. And so I went and watched it. After he threw that ball, he started backing up.
Oh, like he thought he was going to get smoked.
Yes. Like, I don't know if I've ever seen that. That's like softball stuff.
Oh, yeah.
He throws it, and as the ball is approaching Ohtani,
He's retreating.
His glove is, like, over his face, and he starts backpedaling, and then he realizes, oh, I struck him out.
A moment that Johnny Pareto will never forget.
Dude, that's, and I don't know if he, how long that dude's going to be in the majors.
He's got the number 64, so you can't imagine that he's one of their main guys.
Dude, if that's Crash Davis, if that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, that the,
you could come up with a lot worse ways to remember your MLB career if that's all you ended up being.
The smirk on his face, yeah, that's phenomenal. And that, and one that he had the wherewithal to go get Ohtani to sign. And good for Ohtani for signing it.
Yeah. And Ohtani, by all accounts, seems like an awesome dude.
Yeah, seems like the, like just a kick-ass guy that gets it. That's one of the, what do they always say? The great part about baseball is you go because you never know when you're going to see something you've never seen before.
Yep.
There you go.
There you go. Well, it's that time for us to enter the Pick Ponies Club. The Preakness comes our way on Saturday. We'll give you some ideas, some picks, some handicaps. They might not be right, but they'll be fun. We'll do it coming up next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
That's right, we're cultured here too. We can keep up with the kids and their hot new records. Chaperone, who was, what, New Artist of the Year? Is that right? I think this song and album won a bunch of Emmys too.
Are you a Pink Pony boy?
I'm a Pink Pony Clydesdale. Or I'm a Pink Clydesdale. Can a pony be a Clydesdale? Do you have a pony Clydesdale? I guess a baby Clydesdale is a pony?
I don't think you can have a pony Clydesdale.
Probably not.
No.
No.
But, you know, you could be the Pink Clydesdale. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, up there dancing in your heels. That yeah. song's a jam. That's a good album.
Yeah, that song's super fun, and we played it because it's not the Pink Pony Club, but the Pick Ponies Club here on Primetime. We got the Preakness coming up tomorrow, and it's, as Suk mentioned last segment, it's a little bit of a letdown because you're not going to see a shot at a Triple Crown. Sovereignty, the horse who won the Kentucky Derby, not going to be participating in this one. And also just 9 horses in the field. So there's less to get cute with, but there's also more to potentially hit on. Journalism is back. Journalism was the...
That was the odds-on favorite,
That was the favorite for the Derby.
Took second?
Took second behind Sovereignty, and journalism is now an even bigger favorite in this race. Journalism is about even money right now. And so with that, we kind of saw... I mean, I think people saw about everything they needed to out of that horse. He ran a pretty good race. Sovereignty, which is better. Now Sovereignty is not in this race. And the field in this one, probably not as good as the Derby. So stands to reason he should be the favorite. I've listened to and read through some handicaps of these horses. So I'm going to give you some notes on the field here. You can do with it what you like, but there are five horses that I have kind of honed in on. Journalism's one of them. You're not going to make a lot of money just betting journalism to win and getting even back. So if you're trying to do one of the $1 to bet $1,700, just put journalism down as your winner and start to fill in some of the rest. But the next horse that I like is this, the 8-horse Clever Again, who's now down to like either 4 or 5 to 1 odds. His trainer, Steve Asmussen, is the winningest trainer in North America. He's the second fastest horse in the field based on metrics, and won his last two races coming in. So people like him for all those reasons.
I like where you're going. So you put journalism first. If you throw in a couple combinations for second and third, and if that it hits, there's your big payday?
Correct. So I will use this Clever Again in the 2, 3, and 4 spots because I think that he could finish any of those. And then this will be there'll be multiple of those $1 combinations coming out.
I like where we're going with this, our pink pony picks.
That's right, the pink pony picks. So journalism and Clever Again. Then we like River Thames, the 6-horse or River Thames, but spelled like the river in London, plus 650. He's a Todd Pletcher horse. Todd Pletcher, one of the most renowned trainers in the game. Lost or came in second by a neck to Sovereignty in the only race that they faced each other. So this horse has the chops to keep up with that one. The one thing, though, that they skipped the Derby with this horse, and he hasn't been one that's been a real closer. So you like him in the mix, but maybe not to win the whole thing. He can go in a 2, 3, 4 spot. Then we have Goal Oriented. This is a fun horse. It's the one horse. Couple big things. It's a Bob Baffert horse. Everyone knows the legend of Bob Baffert. He's the most decorated trainer at Preakness.
Cheating bastard.
Churchill Downs. Now, he was banned at Churchill. He was not banned at Preakness or at Pimlico. He's won the Preakness 8 times. That's more than any other trainer.
I didn't know. I thought like when you got banned from the sport. You only get banned from individual tracks.
I think there is a governing body that can say you have to be away from racing, but I think this was more specific to something the horse just had in his system for that race, so that event banned him or banned them.
Okay.
But Baffert is training Goal Oriented, who is about a 7-to-1 shot last I checked. The other interesting thing is that Baffert has jockey Flavian Pratt on the back of Goal Oriented.
I mean, come on,
but here's the stat you need. When Baffert links one of his horses up with Flavian Pratt, they win 26% of the time. That's a pretty good clip.
That is a pretty good clip.
And then additionally, what makes you a little worried about this horse, he has only raced against other horses twice.
Okay, so he's the definition of the rookie.
He's fast. He's trained by a pedigree trainer, but no one really knows if he has the chops.
Is he getting nervous? he's like, what is happening here?
Yeah, well,
stage fright.
He's also on the rail. He's number one, and they say that he is a speed horse who will like to try to get out to the lead rather than hang back and like stick with the pace. So he seems like a one that could definitely jump out early and then maybe fade back into the 2, 3, or 4 spots. So we'll like him there. And then two more for you to round out the 3 and 4 spots. Heart of Honor, which is the only horse I have that is non-domestic. This horse from the UAE, where it's won twice in Dubai and 3 second place finishes in Dubai. So it's done.
I like the foreign horse. I like where we're going with
done
this.
Very well over there. Little nepotism going on, though. The jockey is the daughter of the trainer. So, you know, I'm not saying the experience isn't there.
Are lady jockeys, do they win?
I don't know.
Is there sexism in jockeys?
Is it weird and sexist that I didn't know that you could have lady jockeys?
You didn't know?
What are you, a jockey segregationist?
Nope, just didn't know. Cross my mind.
It would make sense that you would have, because
they're the lighter being.
The lighter being.
You would think, right? Yeah. I don't know why. Like Seabiscuit, I don't know.
And then, so this horse, though, Heart of Honor, it would have qualified for the Derby. They elect to skip it, focus on this race. The one thing that you might need to worry about with Heart of Honor, although he's been a winner overseas, he finished or he lost to the horse that finished last place in the Kentucky Derby.
That's not so good.
So, yeah, let's see. What was it? So it was he's been Admiral Daytona finished last in the Derby. This horse couldn't beat that horse.
He's been hiding out overseas running against a bunch of slobs. Now he's over here with the big boys, can't hang.
And then finally, Souk, for the final horse to include in our tri and superfectas in the 3 and 4 spot, one that's going to be near and dear to your heart, this is Sandman. Mm. Sandman was actually hyped up quite a bit before the Kentucky Derby, and in listening to some podcasts, a lot of it was because there's now some influencer that is like somehow connected, and he was pumping up this horse. So this horse took way more money than any horse not named Journalism in the Derby.
Shadur Sanders of horses.
And it wasn't that great. Mm. But Little Worse Field here at Pimlico, and Sandman is a really fast horse, but I've read that he struggles with traffic. So, you know, they're racing each other. That's the point of it. But he's not comfortable getting super close in a tight line to try to get to the front. He doesn't like the literal jockeying between the horses.
He's a coward horse.
So he kind of like bends around to get to the front, and that might not work here.
Nah, he's a coward horse. I don't like him.
But he was, in fact, inspired by Metallica. One of the owners is a huge Yankees fan and a huge Mariano Rivera fan. And because of Enter Sandman, the closing song, he said, I want a horse that's going to be a closer. So they named Sandman after Metallica.
Oh, all right. Well, that's kind of fun, even though it sounds like that horse sucks. But, you know, hey.
I'd say he was an underachiever. Good pedigree, haven't gotten the most out of it yet. So failed against expectations in the Kentucky Derby, but could maybe hang around for a little place action here.
There is the Ryan Buckley Pink Pony Picks.
And Ortner, you've been listening to Randy Moss and others this week. You got any thoughts on the Preakness?
Yeah, I also threw in, let's see, I got to pull mine up and I got to get it to load again. But I made a couple.
Why are you listening to Randy Moss?
Okay, so this shows
how you're uncultured, and you don't care about the ponies.
This is a fun little thing.
No, I don't.
NBC's top horse racing analyst is a bald white dude named Randy Moss.
The original Randy Moss.
Who is older than the other Randy Moss. Right. He's actually had some really funny stories about people mistaking the two of them. Randy Moss, the football player, actually likes horse racing. They've had the opportunity to cross paths before.
I was like, why are you...
Yeah. No, we're not listening to the football
winners,
player.
Bro. I'm
listening to Randy Moss.
But you know what? If Old 84 had a pick for me, I'd probably take that too.
I can't remember if you talked about the 8 horse, but I threw the 8 horse.
Yeah, the 8 horse clever again.
Yeah. And I also threw the 1 as well.
Goal-oriented. That's the Baffert horse, yeah. So we're on the same page here.
The amount of time that you two mooks have spent trying to pour over something that you have no idea about.
Hey, one time I turned $1 into $1,700, and damn it, I'm prepared to try and do it again.
I don't like that you come in here trying to yuck our yum. We like gambling a little bit. For shame, sir.
I love that you're just like, yeah, let's get... Listen to Randy Moss and get into the Preakness. Let's go.
He was on a show that I already listened to. I was excited. I like Randy Moss. I think you should try.
I love the degenerates that you two have become when it comes to gambling. I'm gonna sit this one out. So.
Well, thank you to Chapel Roan, and thank you for humoring us. That concludes our Pick Ponies Club. Coming up next, Joey Harrington, as we do every Friday, story time with Joey Harrington, brought to you by Mods PDX. That's coming up on the other side of the break. But first, Ortner has SportsCenter. It is story time with Joey Harrington, and it's brought to us by Mods PDX. Joey, no Isaac with us this week. He is road tripping. My first question for you, what's your longest car road trip?
Ooh. Mm.
Enticing.
Eugene to San Diego.
That's not too bad.
Yeah. Although we had decided that we were all going to take turns driving, but the guy whose car it was just kind of got on a roll and he drove the whole thing straight.
That's the best. That's the best when you get one of those in your crew who's like, no, teams. I'm happy to.
Yeah. I was just trying. It just came up in conversation the other day. So what is it? It's eight hours to San Francisco. And then like 8 hours down to San Diego.
Oh, it's longer. I think San Francisco is more like, I want to say that's more like 11 or 12.
Because you'll go San Francisco to like.
No. You're talking about San Francisco to San Diego is 11 or 12?
No. From Portland to San Francisco.
But we went from Eugene.
Oh, well, yeah, that shaves a couple off. That's true.
I think it was a 16-hour trip. And, you know, this was quite a while ago. But, yeah, we went 16 hours straight. And one guy just, Brian Alfano was his name. He just decided to rock it, you know, just roll with it.
Was there what was the purpose? Was this concert, party, just
spring break? Yeah, spring break. We just drove down to visit a buddy down in San Diego and crashed at his place.
Yeah, you're looking at a little over 8 hours. You're right. Eugene to San Francisco.
Yeah,
it's not too shabby.
Yeah, it's kind of like that yeehaw. Like I'm not completely off base. I know these things every once in a while.
Yeah, it's a nice little road trip. The drive to San Francisco isn't too shabby, especially if you can make that a little longer or take the more scenic route.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and did you guys actually have a real car? Because I drove cross country in a 1981 Dodge Raider, where our rock was our. Cruise control, and probably the dumbest thing I've ever done, with no AC and like three fat guys. So
rock.
Just put the rock on the gas pedal?
Yeah. Well, the car didn't go above like 65 miles an hour, and we all got tired of holding our foot. So literally we just found a rock on the side of the road in Nevada somewhere, and that became our cruise control, which again, don't do. Incredibly stupid. But when you're fat and dumb and like 20, that's the sort of stuff you do.
A rock. I'm still that's just stupid.
Yes.
And I like your contention that the reason why, or the defense of it, is because your foot was tired from holding the pedal. I've never heard that complaint before.
Well, have you ever?
Yeah, and especially that makes no sense if you're saying that you could push it all the way to the ground.
Yes.
Therefore, you wouldn't be holding it like halfway and, you know, getting like the old shin, you know, the exercise you did for shin splints where you lift your toe up and like there's none of that.
You can
literally just lay your foot on the pedal.
I'm telling you, you clearly have never driven a piece of crap. Like you are, if you have ever been in a four on the floor Dodge Raider, it is not like that gas pedal is fighting you. The car is fighting you. It does not want to be on the floor. And I'm telling you, after like 6 hours, you're done. You're just done with it. And it was like three of us that were like rotating through. And one of our idiot friends was like, I'm done. And he literally pulled over to the side of the road. We weren't sure what was doing. And you got a rock. And then after that, I want to say that made it to like somewhere like across Oklahoma. I think that rock lasted from like Nevada Oklahoma through Oklahoma.
Yeah. That seems like a very, very Oklahoma-ish idea.
Well, and you got to remember too, one, you're not going very fast. I mean, I don't think that thing went 70 miles an hour. And there's nothing to hit. Like on those roads, there's a lot of just straight, empty highway. And God forbid you came across a hill, because then that max speed of 68 turned into more like 46.
See, I've never driven that stretch of the country, although I have driven through, I've driven like Dallas to Manhattan, Kansas.
Hmm. I bet that's a boring ass drive.
Or maybe it was Kansas City to Manhattan. I can't remember what, but like it really wasn't. It was kind of scenic. You
really?
Know, wheat fields, a little bit of corn, you know, a little bit of rolling hills.
Windmills here and there.
Yeah, you know, everybody talks about like just these stretches, and maybe it's more just like Montana or Oklahoma, where it's just you can literally just put the wheel straight for 20 miles and just drive. I haven't experienced that.
Mm.
Now, what about driving internationally? I know Souk just did that. Have you done driving internationally? I've never driven internationally, let alone like on the other side of the road, but I think Souk was just doing it in Italy. Have you done that?
Oh, I've done it all. Oh yeah. So one time me and two other buddies, we decided to rent an RV in New Zealand, which, it was fun, but you know, you don't really think through that. It's like, oh yeah, sure. I can drive on the other side of the road. Okay. And it's a stick shift.
Oh
perfect.
Boy.
So driving a left-handed stick, but the pedals were still the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So you're shifting with your, it was all screwy. But so then we pulled up. It was one of those things where, you know, we did the RV thing for a while, and I had just gotten, I think I was the first year in the league, and I was like, hey, in the middle of the trip, we'll we'll have a nice little reprieve from our camper van. And we pulled up to this place called Hookah Lodge. And I mean, it was like the type of place that I think Queen Elizabeth stayed there at one point or something like that. And we pulled up and the doorman or whoever it was comes out as we're pulling through with like this RV thing and about to take out this old growth timber that's coming across. I just about scraped this thing so bad. It was a pretty traumatic RV experience in a foreign country.
Yeah, driving foreign, it can definitely be. It can do it really interesting because you don't really know the rules. Again, if it's everything is stick, reversed, and then dude, some of the roads you drive on, and it's like I know in certain, like especially like Latin American countries, there's really no difference between the freeway and like a side street. You're just on a side street, and then all of a sudden you're on the freeway.
And wait, tell me you didn't drive in Rome.
Yeah, no, we went from where did we drive? We drove from Florence to Tuscany. And then up through like Venice.
But you didn't drive in Rome, though.
No, you could not.
The single most harrowing experience I have ever had. No. I drove in Rome.
Oh,
it was awful.
I don't know how we were joking about that. You couldn't pay me to drive in Rome. Everything, the streets are so narrow and like. You just think it's like some.
And if you miss one,
yeah.
Like it's like, oh yeah, I'll just take the next. Nope. Except the next one is a one way going in the opposite direction, and it literally loops you around the entire city.
Yeah, you got to go around the whole ring to get back. Yeah.
It's terrifying to like you're walking, and you think you're walking down like a little alley, and then some car comes barreling through the alley, and they don't give a rip. That was Rome was top three worst. Traffic situations I've ever seen in my entire life. There's definitely places that you go where you're like, nope. Like when we went from Florence to Tuscany, it's fine. It's just all countryside roads. It was easy, but
right.
Like Rome, Bali was about as scary as I've ever seen. Because like
did you drive there?
We were on scooters, and
oh god,
we quickly learned that you can't be on the main roads because you'll be like in a traffic circle with like giant trucks and then like 1,000 scooters, and the scooters think that they're in charge of the road, and there's like six people, there's like an entire family, and then like a crate of chickens on the back of a Kawasaki
on a scooter. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and they'll literally cut off like a moving sized truck, and the dude won't lose the ash off his cigarette. It's a different animal. It's just terrifying.
Yeah, I've not driven in it, but I have been a passenger in both Beijing and in Delhi, and those places.
Yeah.
In Beijing, we watched a bus hit a bicyclist that was a dude with a woman on the handlebars, like two of them on one bike, and the bicyclist got up and apologized to the bus driver.
Yeah. Yeah. You see some dude wipe out and he just bounces up and he's like, well, he's limping. He's like, well, this is what we're doing. Yep. And then they just, you know, they cruise off and do something else.
Let's bring it back local, Joey. Will you be?
Yeah, I was going to say, how do we get on this topic?
Road trips. I love a good road trip.
Well,
because Rob's on a road trip.
That's right.
And that's not a good road trip because you're road tripping with your folks, but like you and your buddies. Like that one we went with the Raider, that was Salt Lake to New Orleans. And, you know, everyone should go on one great dumb idiot friend that's fueled by like, you know, chewing tobacco, Gatorade, and, you know,
Slim Jims.
Like everyone should go on one of those road trips with your idiot friends at some point in your life.
So we had one where we were sitting around one night, and it's like, and it wasn't, I was part of the crew, where somebody said, I feel like in an Outburger. And we're like, well, where's the closest in and out? I said, Reading.
Yep.
So Everybody got in a car, and we started driving down the freeway to Reading.
Yep.
Except we realized that by the time we would have gotten there at like 5 in the morning,
In-N-Out
would have been closed. So instead, we stopped at the casino and, you know, probably had a better night. Anyway, what were we going to talk about?
What we're talking about is every great road trip starts at about 10 o'clock at night with someone saying, hey, do you want to? And everyone else being like, yeah.
Yeah.
Every great road trip starts that way. Hey, it's the middle of the night. Anyone feel like going somewhere? Yes. Yes, we do.
Yes.
Yeah, I had one of those college nights. Yes. We basically were like, this party isn't great. None of us had really had anything to drink. Let's go down to Seven Feathers and made some money on the roulette wheel that
Bingo.
Night.
I like where that's going.
Okay. Let's bring it back local here for a second. Joey, when's the last time you talked to Jody Allen about your candidacy for a Blazers ownership?
Going
to be expanding Tuesday. Your sports ownership portfolio, I assume?
We chatted on Tuesday.
Okay. And things are looking good?
Yeah, I just got to come up with another couple billion, and we should be you know, in the ballpark.
Yeah, it looks like four is probably going to get it done, right? Four and then another billion and a half to rebuild or build a new arena?
The interesting thing is, yeah, it's tough to imagine for those of us who still remember the Rose Garden when it was built. It's the bottom of the barrel now.
Yep.
And it needs complete renovation. This is kind of a scary time, to be perfectly honest. Does the NBA want an owner to relocate the Blazers? No, of course not. But let's not fool ourselves into thinking that that couldn't happen. There are only so many people with a spare $4 billion hanging around, right? And not many of them have ties to the Portland community. So this is. I don't know. I'm honestly a little bit nervous.
Well, let's put a pin in that for a second. We do have to break, but I'm curious about these concerns. Me and Souk, or Souk and I, kicked this around a little bit earlier in the week, but I know that Portland fans are also laying in wait, wondering who the next owner is going to be, what the profile of the owner is going to look like, and is there any danger to the franchise? We'll get to that next. Plus some football stuff with Joey Harrington. Storytime brought to you by Mods PDX on 1080 The Fan.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear research-backed insights.
From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I'm with Joey on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back. We're in the middle of story time with Jip, talking a little Blazers ownership. And earlier in the week, Suk and I kicked this around a little bit, Joey. We didn't really see much of a destination for another NBA team to go as far as where you could relocate. Not that somebody wouldn't want to, but you're expressing some concerns that you don't necessarily get to dictate who the $4 billion man or woman is that comes in. Thoughts about the potential of the Blazers, I guess, maybe moving, or what gives you that pause?
The reality of professional sports. And you know, the last time we saw a Northwest team get sold, would you have said that they were going to move to Oklahoma?
No,
in terms of a destination.
No, but they did sell to an owner that we knew. That was kind of a crappy situation because they sold to a guy that everyone kind of knew wanted to bring it home.
Right, and very adamantly said, I am not moving the team. Yeah. And then went to the city and said, I need a new stadium.
Yeah.
Which is literally the exact situation that we're sitting in right now, which is what gives me pause, which makes me nervous, right? What makes me nervous, you asked, is we are the Sonics. We are the team that has a city that loves their team and has facilities that need to be significantly upgraded. And let's not fool ourselves into thinking that American professional sports is just an American thing, right? I mean, look at the expansion, or look at, you know, the NFL playing games over in Europe, you know, expanding into Spain and England and Germany. You know, we already have NBA teams in Canada. You know, what's to say that an NBA team can't go to Mexico? What's to say that an NBA team can't? I mean, of course, you look at Vegas, but I mean, there are all sorts of places around that would gladly take an NBA team and would roll out the red carpet to build a stadium to attract them because of the business that comes in around it. I'm cautiously optimistic, but I'm realistic in the fact that this is not a sure thing.
See, I would hope, and maybe I'm being naive, but if you go back to 1985, I believe there's only three real teams that have relocated. I mean, Charlotte, but that was, you're getting a team back, Charlotte to New Orleans, and there was an expansion right around the corner where they were like, you're going to get a team. The Nets went from Jersey to Brooklyn. That's not really a move. That's like moving to Vancouver. So you had, like, going back to 85, you had Kansas City to Sacramento. You had Vancouver to Memphis, and you had Seattle that left. And I just think that Seattle one was such a bad look for the NBA because it was sold knowing that he wanted to do that, and yeah, he didn't put a good faith effort in. So everything I've heard from Adam Silver, they are not in the business of moving teams. Portland is a market that loves their team. Even at our worst, we're still middle of the road in attendance. And I would like to believe, and they've kind of alluded to it, fingers crossed, that part of the vetting process to selling the team to a group is going to be a plan of what do you do with the arena. The NBA knows that either that needs to be a complete overhaul or a new one. And that was the same thing like when Ballmer came in and took the Clippers. I know we're not LA. I just don't think the NBA has the balls and to do the optics of letting another team from the Pacific Northwest sell to a guy that immediately wants to take them somewhere else. I think what happened to Seattle is what is going to protect us down here in Portland.
But it doesn't have to be an immediate thing.
No.
Right? There's the key. There's the key word, right? There is nothing in the sales documents from Jody Allen that says the team needs to stay. that doesn't have to be an immediate type of thing. So-and-so buys the team, you know, you get yourself rolling. After a year or two, you put a proposal in front of the city, you know, maybe it goes to the voters, maybe, you know, to finance a stadium. And what if Portland says no?
Yeah.
No, sorry, we're not going to pay for one. All right, now you're 3 or 4 years down the road. Your contract is up with the Rose Garden. All right, there's nothing keeping them there, right? So it doesn't have to be some like nefarious, you know, in the dead of night, you know, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to, you know, who was it, Art Modell, who took the Cleveland Browns to Baltimore? This could be something that that just kind of plays out in a natural way if Portland and their leaders aren't. I say on the ball.
I'll tell you, if the NBA allows that to happen, because they have to approve everything, if they allow another team from the Northwest to leave, a team that is without a question one of the more passionate fan bases of the smaller markets, I guess maybe that's what I'm holding on to, is I just think if you're a small market owner, it's almost unconscionable to me.
It would paint the league with a very evil brush.
An absolute evil brush that you did it twice in the span of, I mean, what, the Sonics move in 2008?
It's like 15.
And now they're you know, years. To the point where the NBA, the first time that they were going to expand, the first thing is we're bringing one back to Seattle. I mean, they understand the error of that way. So that's, and like I said, maybe I'm being naive. That's just what I hold on to.
And to that point, let me ask you this question. Has any professional sports organization truly cared about the feelings of small market teams?
No, that is fair.
They haven't.
Yeah.
It is purely a money-driven business.
Yeah.
And it is only a money-driven business. These owners of the professional sports teams don't do it for the goodwill and you know, the love of the game. They do it because it puts a hell of a lot of money in their pocket.
And you're right. I mean, there's not a lot of, we looked through, there's not a lot of major markets that don't have a team. I mean, you're dealing with like Kansas City, Baltimore. There's not many, but I mean, to your point, if you wanted to be pessimistic about it, even if it was a smaller market, if someone wants to pay $2 billion for a new arena and it would cost them $2 billion to build it here in Portland, I guess that's
bingo.
I guess that's $2 billion reasons to move it elsewhere, which is why I'm hoping whoever comes in here has FU money. I want some of that Walmart money. I want some of that Steve Ballmer money where, you know, it's not run like a business. It's a passion project, and you're coming in with a sweeping, but like the Thorns did this, and I know it's on a completely different scale, but the Thorns came in and were like, hey, we're buying the team. We have a plan. We're building a facility. Like, they came in boots on the ground. We're ready to go. I would hope that the NBA vets it to where whoever comes in and buys this 12 months from now comes in and announces, hey, we're buying the team for $3.8 billion. We're sinking $900 million or $1 billion into the Moda Center in the next 2 years to renovate it, or we're coming in and we're buying Lloyd Center, and within 2 years we're building it. I hope someone has that plan, because you're right. If it doesn't happen like what they did with the Thorns, where they immediately announce it, then we get into the scary, you know, what's going to happen 2-3 years down the road.
Mm-hmm. And all I'm saying is, hey, I'm with you. Like, I remember buying my Western Conference Champions T-shirt from the dude who was selling it in the, you know, on the folding table on the corner of 33rd and Broadway. Like, I am on board, have always been on board, and will always be on board. However, I've been around enough in professional sports to know that this isn't out of the realm of possibility.
It just that would, of all the gut punches that this city has had, and I think we've weathered them. And I mean, I spend
that would feel like a knockout.
I spend a lot of time, Rome. I mean, most of my free time is spent in Portland, and I love this city. And I think we're on the way back up, and I think we're catching some W's lately. I do. I don't know if that's a knockout punch, but boy, that certainly feels like that would be a standing. That would be a standing eight.
No, that's not a gut punch. That's a kick in the crotch.
Yeah, that's it. It would be. I can't. And maybe that's why. Maybe I'm naive because I don't want to think about it. I just can't. I just can't fathom it. But I'm guessing the Cleveland Browns couldn't fathom their team leaving, or the Baltimore Colts and
well, yeah. I mean, you used the examples of the NBA, and yeah. I immediately thought, well, what about Cleveland going to Baltimore, the Ravens? What about the Houston Oilers going to Tennessee?
Yeah.
What about the Oakland A's now playing in Sacramento right now? What about like this? It's sure you have a smaller sample size in a 32 team NBA league, but let's expand this to the realm of professional sport.
Yeah.
Which is what this is. This is an economic decision in the world of professional sports. And if that's the case, you've got a lot more, you have a lot more comparison or a lot more, what's the word I'm looking for? This has happened. Yeah. Examples of where this has happened.
Yeah. I do remember. I mean, my favorite sports team ever is the Detroit Red Wings, and they're hockey town. Like, there may not be a team more so. Green Bay. I mean, it's that level of when you think Detroit, it's the Red Wings, and you think Green Bay, it's the Packers, and the Illich family is worth $5 billion, and they had the nerve a number of years ago to basically say, hey, you either help us out or we'll start looking elsewhere. And I mean, I guess now I'm all depressed because I guess it was all a threat. It was a bluff, and the city of Detroit bent over backwards for him. But I remember reading that and thinking, you've got to be kidding me. Like, you're literally threatening to move the Detroit Red Wings out of an original six team out of hockey town. And a lot of people said it was a bluff, but it worked. But they did, to your point, they rattled the cage until the city bent over and, did what they wanted.
Owners don't own teams out of the goodness of their heart.
Yeah.
And that's the unfortunate, not unfortunate, but that is the reality in this situation, and it has to be taken into consideration, or else, or else we don't want to talk about it.
And maybe that's the beautiful part about Paul Allen that I don't know if how many people appreciated. He bought the Seahawks out of civic duty to keep them in Seattle. And he bought Portland and built them an arena. Because I will say, without Paul Allen, we don't have a team. Because that arena never would have been built 30 years ago, and someone else would have built it. So whatever you think of Paul Allen, if you're a Seahawks fan, if you're a Blazer fan, that man was a savior of both of those franchises.
So, Joe, we didn't get to any football today, but I do have one final question for you before we finish up story time. It's more of a demand or a request. Give us a pick for the PGA Championship or the Preakness.
The Preakness is this weekend?
That's right.
Yeah.
I didn't know they had any other races after the Kentucky Derby. I don't know.
So how about give us a PGA Championship pick then? Because, or if you want to throw a dart at a horse right now, that'd be amazing.
Is Michael Block playing this year? No, he is. But let's see. Pick for the PGA right now. You could go with Max Homa because he was on fire.
Yeah.
You know what's so funny is I was looking at the leaderboard a few minutes ago, and
you didn't know any of them?
Of the top 20, I could only say that there were maybe three or four that I was like, oh yeah, I know who that is.
Yes, it feels like the Corn Fairy Tour out
it's
there.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I'm gonna go Max Homa. Just because I like him. Yeah. He's a nice guy.
Homa. Yeah, he seems like a good dude.
It'd be a good story.
There you go.
All right, Joey. Have a wonderful weekend. We will talk with you. Maybe some football next week. Maybe not football next week.
No, not football. We don't talk football in what business? May. We don't talk football.
You know what we can maybe get into is hot mascot talk. We didn't get your thoughts on the of Saucy T Sausage, the new FC Bangers mascot. So maybe that comes
next
week.
Now we're talking. Now we're cooking with gas.
That's a tease for 7 days from now. Thanks, Joey.
Yep.
Joey Harrington brought to you by Mods PDX. The club is next on The Fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.